In the beginning, everything is placid. The womb of the sky is empty. Everything is still. Time has not yet begun. There are no humans, nor is there bird, fish, crab, tree, stone, hollow, canyon, meadow, or forest. Only the sky exists, as well as water, which is in repose. Earth has not manifested itself. Nothing moves or makes a sound. It is the dark night. The creator and maker are in the water, surrounded by clarity. They are hidden behind green feathers. They are supported by the omnipotent heart of heaven, heart of earth. A plumed serpent with quetzal feathers is in conversation with the creator. They decide that when dawn arrives, humans shall be created. First, they plan the birth of life. That is how it is agreed with Heart of Heaven, Heart of Earth. The book goes on to tell us, in the definitive creation, men were made out of yellow and white corn, equating maize with human flesh. Humans are nourished by the maize god, and in turn, they must nourish the cosmos with prayer and sacrificial blood. This included penitential bloodletting, or the sacrifice of individual victims and recompense for having received the gift of life. As most of Mesoamerica, the Maya offered their own blood to the gods by pricking a part of their bodies, such as an earlobe, elbow, tongue, with a sharp imagery or stingray spine, shark's tooth, obsidian blade, or a similar object. The life cycle of maize is a metaphor for life itself. Today, as in pre-Columbian times, harvested seed ears are saved for next year's planting. The maize dies, to be reborn when planted in the earth. Maize arose about 9,000 years ago from domestication of a wild plant in the central Balsas River Valley in southwestern Mexico, and spread out from there. The introduction goes on to talk about the importance of animals, particular animals, in the Popol Vuh, in the Mayan creation story. It tells us about that sacred ball game and about caves and bats. It tells us, quote, the principle of opposites was basic in Mesoamerica. Pairings include male-female, life, death, day, night, sun, moon, sky, earth, fire, water. Duality is recurrent in the Popol Vuh, the creator and the maker. The great ball players, twin sons, the hero twins, tricksters, who are the demigod sons of the sun and the moon, the treacherous twins, turned into spider monkeys by the younger half-brother to join the descendants of the soulless wooden people in the forest. The lords of death, of the underworld, of Zibala, also come in pairs. And many of the K'iche', the larger tribe of the Mayan people, mentioned in the Popol Vuh are siblings. The Maya believe that the sky is held up by trees of different species, we are told, and colors, red in the east, where the sun is born, white in the north, whence winter rains, black to the west, where the sun dies, yellow in the south, the great side of the sun with a mighty green tree, the ceiba, in the center. The ceiba is the world tree, its branches in the heavens, its trunk on earth, its roots in the underworld. If we cut down the ceiba, the firmament will collapse upon us. As the title promises, and the introduction offers us as well, this is a translation at least twice removed from the original, which itself is a post-conquest publication, albeit a written document from Mayans who were born and lived in the pre-conquest society before the arrival of the Spanish and the destruction of their civilization. So now let's delve into the book, continuing from that opening which tells the creation of the world in which we and the Mayans lived and live. As the book tells us, the creators go on conferring. They discuss life, creating light, how dawn will arrive, who will produce food. Let it be. There is no darkness without light, no sound without silence. The womb of the sky shall be filled. Let water recede, emptying space. Let earth emerge and dawn come to heaven and earth, Time must begin its course, otherwise there is no memory. There shall be no glory in our creation until humans are made. They will be the ones to remember. Earth is thus created. It happens by multiple starts and restarts, by trial and tribulations. The creator and maker, the guardians of language, declare, "This is how Earth is shaped. Creation is like fog, like a cloud of dust. Water gives way to mountains, which manifest their nawal, their spirit essence. Mountains reach higher. They are followed by the emergence of cypresses and pine trees covering the face of the earth. Joyfully, it is said, your blessings have been kind, heart of heaven, heart of earth. You are made of three jacaran, whose power shakes nature." The three respond, "Our work is done." The valleys are then formed. As time begins, waterways soon find their paths. There is no stopping change now. Everything is in constant movement. Trees populate the mountains. Perfection is achieved. Thought is followed by a dialogue and crowned by execution. The animals are made. And then the first humans. And then wooden humans. And then finally, as we heard in our introduction, they bring together white and yellow corn, maize, and make the humans that we know today. The humans, interestingly enough, who can remember and who can praise the creators who made them. Once made, we delve further into the stories of the Mayan people. Continuing from that opening, we'll soon enough read stories featuring heroes mentioned earlier, whose stories intertwine both human and animal, female and male, young and old. And continuing deeper into this very American, if ancient, story, the final collection, the final section of the Popol Vuh, gives us a contemporaneous look at Mayan society as it was before the Spanish conquest, exploring stories the Mayans told themselves about the heroes who helped and helped to explain their cultural heritage. If I'm at all critical of this beautifully written translation, it is in my response to the book's introduction, which I nonetheless urge you to read first. It is an introduction which, to my reading, comes perilously close to commingling the Aztec and Mayan cultures. Now, I know that both Aztecs and Mayans shared the pre-conquest Middle American landscape, at least on their borderlands. But the introduction seems to blend these cultures and civilizations' ideas rather than keeping them as distinct as the peoples who crafted them over time. And perhaps that contextualizing of the Aztecs and the Mayans is a correct approach. I'm certainly not an American pre-conquest expert. In sum, it is perhaps difficult to read and understand any literature, be it political, religious, artistic, without a feel for the context of the society that produced it. But few of us will become experts in the Mayan culture of yesteryear, yet we do have the opportunity to experience just a bit, an important and increasingly insightful bit, of the Mayan worldview through today's beautiful flowing translation of a key Mayan expression of their culture, the Popol Vuh, a retelling by Ilan Stavins. As a critic in the Seattle-based Saddle Pie wrote, quote, "Stavins' style is both colloquial and subtly elevated. The same is true of the illustrator Larios's splendid illustrations, which would be worth the purchase price on their own. Colorful two-page spreads illuminate numerous episodes, opening an additional window on the ancient Mayan worldview." End quote. Popol Vuh, a retelling, is a glorious retelling of an ancient American classic that I hope you'll delve into with me. It opened up a whole new world with epic, mythical, and very human repercussions. And I think it may do the same for you.